Today's shir is Masechta Bava Kama on Daf Kuf Hei. We will begin on Daf Kuf Dalet Amud Beis, five lines from the bottom of the Yomid, with the third word on the line, V'nechayiv. A quick chazara of the sugya that we are in the middle of. We had learned in the Mishnah that if someone is koifer on a chi of mammon, he perjurizes himself, he says a shvua sheker on money that he owes to someone else, and then he confesses, he is mechuyif to pay keren chomesh va'ashem. And the Gemara is discussing the payment of the surcharge of the chomesh, and the Gemara began that there is a proof from our Mishnah that chomesh is not a kapora for dinei shamayim, but rather it is chomesh memoina. It is considered by the Torah as a monetary obligation that he owes to the nigzel. And as a result, his yorshim will have to pay, if he dies, they will have to pay this chomesh for their father. And on this, the Gemara asked, after they brought a proof from our Mishnah, from a Brisa, they asked from a Brisa in Torah's Kahanim, where the Brisa says, Beferish, that ain't a mishalm chomesh al gezel aviv, that a son does not pay a chomesh for the gezel of his father. And we learned that it's in all four scenarios, namely, where both the father and the son did not swear falsely, or where both the father and the son swore falsely, or where the father swore falsely and not the son, or where the son swore falsely and not the father. We learned it out from Rebuyim, it's Xeris Akasiv, that in all those four scenarios, the son does not pay for the father's chomesh. So we have a stira. So Rav Nachman wanted to answer, loy kasha, kancha hoida, kancha loy hoida. If the father was moida before his death, then the son is obligated to pay not only the keren for the father, he has to pay the chomesh as well. But if the father was not moida, then the son would not have to pay the chomesh. And the Gemara, a line, six lines from the bottom of the Yomid, a line before we are going to begin, the last line we learned yesterday, the Gemara said that it's speaking about loy hoyde aviv, vahoyde benoy, that the father did not admit, the son did admit, and therefore the son has to pay the keren. However, since we learned out from the Torah's Kahanim, the Gezeris HaKosov, that on the chomesh, he does not have to pay. Now, ask the Gemara, five lines from the bottom, this is where we're up to in the sugya, v'nechayiv benoi chomesh hashvua didei, since one of the four scenarios is where the son himself swore falsely under oath, he perjurized himself, claiming that he had, let's say, paid up, and that he didn't owe this anymore to the nigzal, and then he was moited that he was swearing sheker. So, einachanami, you learned out from Xeris Akosov that the son is not mechuyev to pay for the father, but why doesn't he have to pay for his own shvua in that scenario where he swore falsely? Why shouldn't he have to pay a chaimish? Amri, I'll answer you, b'shein gzela keyam, so speaking about where the gzela is not here anymore, it has been eaten up, it has been destroyed, it's not in existence anymore. And Rashi brings down the Gemara further, Daf Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, HaGoyzul Machal Esbonov, Petur Milashalim, that if it's not in existence anymore, they don't have to pay. So, Eina Chanami, they swore Sheker, but that's, Rashi says, a Shvuas Bitui. But on a Shvuas Bitui, a Shvuas Sheker, there is no Din Chaymish. So if the Gzeil is not Kayemeth, so it is not considered a kvira, a shvu of a kviras mammon, and therefore there is no din chaimish. Ask the Gemara, ibishen gezel kayemes, if the gezel is not kayim, afilu keren, nami loy mishale, then you shouldn't even have to pay the keren either, because that's as Rashi said, that hagoizel ma'achul esbonav petur milashalim, so there's no chaimish, but then there's no keren either. Answers the Gemara, like Tzricha, must be speaking about the ikka achrayis, the bach puts in the word nechasim. He left over a field. The father left over Yerusha field. So now a field is something which we can put a lien on. So since there was a chiv on the keren, and there can be a lien made on the field. So Rashi says that the Gemara tells us over there on Daf Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis that mipnei kvoid aviyem, that people shouldn't say, oh, that field that the Yorshim have, that's from their father, the Ganav. The father stole it. So as a result, mipnei kvoid aviyem, if they have a field, they have to give it back. They have to give the Karen back. And now, the next two lines going on to Kuf Hei Amud Aleph, Rashi is not goyris them, and Tosfos is goyris them. So we're going to learn the Gemara quickly inside. We will speak out why Rashi does not want to be goyris these lines, the Kasha and the Teretz of the Gemara, and why Tosfos upholds the gears of the way we have. Says the Gemara, V'chi ikach reis l'chosm, if you're saying that it's speaking about that there is a sode upon which we have a lien, my havi, why does that make a difference? Why should the son have to pay the keren? Mil val pehi. We're talking about a geneva over here. So this geneva, when he has to pay back his father's geneva, it's not written in a shtar. What is it equal to? An oral loan. And we have a rule that milva pein a goyva loymen a yarshva loymen alakuchos. There is no milva bishtar here. It's not a loan that was written in a shtar. It's a geneva that the Torah was mechayev. So blibes a milva al peh, an oral loan. And a milva peh, you're not goyva from yarsha or from lakuchos. The lakuchos you're not goyva from because this has no coil. Only a milva bishtar has a coil. People don't hear about it, and therefore they had no way to protect their field when they bought it because they didn't know that there was a loan made and that there was a lien on this property. Amri, I'll answer you as we turn to the Kuf Hei Amud Aleph, Bishamed Bedin, when the father had a din Torah, and when a person has a din Torah and the Bezdin paskins against him, there is a coil and it's tantamount to a milva bishtar. On that, the Gemara is going to ask, if so, why does the son have to just pay the keren? He should pay the chaimish as well. Now let us see, and then we're going to soon see what the Gemara is going to answer on that question, but let us see why Rashi doesn't want to be garbage this whole shakla v'tarya. So Rashi says that since we learned before that because of kavod aviyim, they have to give back the field, that people shouldn't say, oh, that's the field of their father, the ganav, that's not a kavod of their father. So what's the question that milva peh is ein a goyva loyman a yarsha loyman al kuchais? But since there is achrayis nechasim here, it doesn't matter that there's a milval peh. Since there's a field, it doesn't matter if this geneva has a status of milval peh. It's al kavod aviyim. They have to return it. So what's the Gemara's kasha? And also on the Gemara's teretz amud bedin, Rashi says that that's also difficult because since we're speaking about the case over here where the father was not moida and the son was moida. So if the father was not moida until his death, the father was not Moida, so Bezdin has no grounds to be Mechayiv the father. So how can we say, oh, there's going to be a coil that it's equal to a Milva Bishtar? But he's denying the whole thing. It's only his son who was Moida. So what does it help that it's Amud Bedin? The Bezdin wouldn't paskin against them. These are Rashi's questions, and therefore Rashi does not learn the Kasha and the Teretz of the Gemara. Tosfos, on the other hand, disagrees with Rashi, and Tosfos says, yes, it's a good Kasha, yes, it's a good Teretz. It's a good Kasha because Tosfos says, we're going here according to the Mandi Yomer that holds Shibudo Lav Deraisa. It's a machloikis, whether there's such a concept of having a lien on things Midaraisa. There's one Mandi Yomer who holds that Shibudo is not a Din Deraisa. And we are going here with the Torah's Kahan, him who was learning this halacha that a son does not pay the chaimish of his father from the psukim, and it's going on a deraisa level. So even though Rashi has the Gemara further on Daf Kuf Yud Aleph from a base that b'nei kvoid aviyem, the children have to return it, but that's only a din midrabbanan. We're going with the deraisa, and we're going like the man d'yomer shibud alav deraisa. So the Gemara has a very good kasha. Since this is only tantamount to a milva peh, it doesn't have a din of milva bishtar, and we hold shibud alav deraisa. So Mimela, even if there isn't a Chrayis Nechasim here, why should you have to pay the carrot? On that, the Gemara answers that it's Amud Bedin, which has halacha of Milva Bishtar. I, Rashi, asks, we cannot be Mechai of the father if he denies it. Zok Tosfos, the bottom line of the Tosfos on Kuf Dalet Amid Bey's Milva Alpeh, the bottom line of that, the last Tosfos on the Amid says, Yesh Loimer, Ba'amid Badin La'acher Shvuah Yedei Edim. Deloi Mechayev O'av Choymish, Kedistan L'Kamamas Nis, the Hechadika Edim, Loi Mechayev Choymish. Einich Nami, there would not be any Din Choymish, because the father's denying it. The only way we know that the father is a Gazlan is because we have Edim, and it's only when he's Moide that we are mechayiv him chaymish. Here where he's not moide, there's no din chaymish. But a Karen, there would be, and that's what the children have to pay. So, Tosfos leaves the kasha and the teretz in. According to Rashi, we skip the kasha and the teretz, and we, at the end of the first line of Kuf Hei Amid Beis, Kuf Hei Amid Aleph, the last word is chaymish. So, Rashi's girsa is, I hachi chaymish nami mishalom. But either way, whether you're Gairus the previous Kasha Teretz or not, we now have a Kasha. And the Kasha is that since you told me it's speaking about there's a Chrais Lechosim, which according to Rashi, because of Kavod Aviyim, and according to Tosfos, because it was Amid Bedin with Edim, but, and that's the cause to be Mechayv a Chaimish, to be Mechayv the Karen, so I have a question, Yehachi Chaimish Nami Mishal. If the son in these circumstances has to pay a Karen, then I have a question that he should once again have to pay a Chaimish because of his own Shua. This Karen that there was a Chiv because of the father, either because Kavod Aviyim or because it was Amid Bedin with Edim, now the son has to pay it. And the son is denying under oath. He says he paid it already. He's lying. So why doesn't he have to pay a Chaimish because of his own Shvuah? So Rashi explains that there's a basic difference between if the father makes a Shvuah Sheker, and is kaifer a chiv mammon or the son? The father is being kaifer on the etzem chiv. The son is being kaifer on the kvira shibut karkois, on what his karka that he received from his father has a lien on it. And since ein nishbon al karkois, Rashi brings down the Gemara in Shvuas, daf mem beis amid beis. Since the whole chiv of the son is that which is related to karka. And on karka, there is no shvuah on karka, so we cannot be mechayev him on his false shvuah on that which is related to karka. And memela, on that we can't be mechayev mechaymish. We can be mechayev a chaymish on a kfiris mammon. But here, by him, by the son, the whole chiv comes about only because there's a karka which has a lien on it. And on that there's a din of Ein Nishbon ala Karkois, so Memeila the Torah is not Mechayiv the Chaimish on a Shvuah, which is on Karka, which we're not Nishbon ala Karkois, if that's the whole cause of the son's Chiyah. So Memeila, there's no din Chaimish on that. Amar Rav on the Rav Shul, if he shame is Shamal Chaimish, I'll clear Shiv with Karkois. Rava, Amar Rava gives a whole new Teretz. Rava says, Be'emes, let's go back to the original question. And we're trying to figure out how the son could be chayiv karen, but not chaymish. So we wanted to say it's speaking about that the gzela is not kayemes. So Rava says, no, really the gzela is kayemes. Ah, you asked me if the gzela is kayemes. Why shouldn't the son have to pay a chaymish because of his own shvuah? Now this has nothing to do with kfir shivin karkois. Here it's the etzim gzela which he has to return. So if he made a shvuah sheker, then the son, not because of the father, but the son because of his own obligations, should be chayv and karen v'chaymish. So says Rava, hachamayaskin in kigoyin shahaysa, daisakia shel ovid mufkedis biyara chayrim. Daisakia is a pouch, and this pouch, the Orach explains, daisakia comes from the word do sakim. There are two sacks. It was a leather pouch that had two compartments that they used to put on a donkey, and the two compartments were on each side like a saddlebag on a donkey, one compartment on each side. And he had given that to someone else as a shomer, and in it was the thing that was stolen. So the children didn't even know that the Dovra Nigzel was there. So they swore. It came out they swore falsely, but they swore falsely by accident. When they said that we don't have this Geneva of our father, they said apparently it was returned. We don't have it. They taka thought they didn't have it. In reality, it was by the Shrimer in the saddlebag, in the pouch. So Kerem Mishalom Doyisya, since the Gnev is here, you have to give it back. However, Chaimish Lamisham, the children don't have to pay the Chaimish, the Chi Ishtaba, the Kushti Ishtaba. The Ha, Loi Havayada. They didn't know the truth. They were swearing, thinking that they're swearing truthfully. And Rashi brings down the Gemara in Shvuah Staf Lamed Vav Amed Beis, that when are you Mechuyiv? For this Shvuah, that's only by Zodin HaShvuah, where you know what you're swearing is false. You know that it's an Aveira to swear false. So then you can be Mechayiv, the Karen and the Chaimish. Or Valshig Gosa im Zod Napikadin. You knew at least that the item was here and you lied about it, but you thought that lying under oath, there is no, you didn't know what the Einish was for it. So in those cases, the halacha is that you're Mechuyiv the Karen of the Chaimish. But where you think you're saying the truth, then there is no chiyuv of the chaimish. Ve'ein chayav al shigasa greatest akihacha, says Rashi, deli be'anse, you're an oinus. You did it with the best of intentions, and therefore on that, there is no chiyuv chaimish. That's what our case is speaking about. So therefore, the children only have to pay back the Karen, they do not have to pay chaimish. And now the Gemara goes to explain the next part of our Mishnah. The Mishnah stated, Nasan loy es hakeren, vloy nasan loy es hachaymish. Or, mocha loy ala keren, vloy mocha loy ala chaym. Or, mocha loy al zev al zev, chutz mi pachas ishover pruta bekeren, ein oy tzorech leilach achrov. So here's where our Gemara brings a little piece of the Mishnah, chutz mi pachas ishover pruta bekeren. The bottom line is, the Mishnah is speaking about where he does not owe him a shover pruta. Either he gave him back the keren, even though he didn't give him back the chaymish, or he was Michael the Karen, even though he wasn't Michael the Chaimish, or he was Michael both, except for a Pachas Mishover Pruta. So if all that is left from the Geneva is less than a Shover Pruta, he does not have to go to give it to him in Madai. If there is a Shover Pruta, then he has to go, as we learned in the Mishnah, he has to go even to Madai to return it to his hands. Amar Papa, Loi, Shana, when did the Mishnah say this halacha, Elishayin Gzela Kayemis, if the Gzela is not here? Avol Gzela Kayemis, if the Gzela is still here, Tzorch Lelech Akrov, then he has to go to Madai, even though now it's worth less than a Shavar Pruta. Why? Chayshin and Shemati Akrov, we are worried maybe it will go up in value. We have a Mishnah further, on Daf Kuf Yud, where the Mishnah says that you can only bring an Oshem if you have returned the Karen. And if you brought an Oshem before you returned the Karen, then you have to bring another Oshem. The first Oshem is possible. So here we're afraid, even though there's only less than a Shavar Pruta worth, maybe this less than a Shavar Pruta will go up to be worth a Pruta. Then you're going to be mechuyev to give it back to the Nigzel. Meanwhile, you've brought an Oshem, and you'll have brought an Oshem, which is a Pasul Oshem. So therefore, if it's still around, you have to go and give back because we're afraid. Shema Tiyaker. Ikka di Amri Samse Amra Papa. Loishna Gzela Kamis, Loishna Shane Gzela Kamis. Doesn't make a difference whether the Gzela is here or it's not here. Einay Tzarech Lelech Akrov. You do not have to follow him. Why? Because the Shema Tiyaker, Loichashina. We are not worried about Shema Tiyaker. The Rosh explains what this means. The Rosh says it cannot mean that Chazal were not afraid that this Takola would come out, that it would be, after he brought the Oshem, it would become worth a Shavar Pruta, and then it'll come out he brought an Oshem Bipsol. It must mean that we're not concerned, even if it goes up later. Because since at the time that he brought the Oshem, it was not worth a Pruta, he had less than a Shavar Pruta in his possession, so the Kashrish or Paslis of the Oshem goes at what it was worth at the time that the Oshem was brought, even though later it'll go up, so that later it'll have to bring that Shavar Pruta to Madai. But the Oshem is still kosher because at the time when it was brought, he had returned everything that he was mechuyev to return at that moment. L'shem etiyaker, loy chashinan. Amar Rava, says Rava, Glazel, Shalosh HaGudish, Shalosh Prutas. If he stole three bundles, and each one was worth a pruta together, they were worth three prutas, v'huzlu, but they became devalued, v'amdu ashtayim, and now all three bunches are worth only two prutas, im hichsu lo ashtayim, if, in order to be mekayim the mitzvah of ashavas gzela, he returned to chayv lahachsu lo acheres, he is mechuyev to return the third one as well. We will learn the simple pshat of the Gemara, the next few lines, and then we will learn the top Tosfos, the Ramaskal Amar Rava, which explains many important points in this sugya. V'tana tana, continues the Gemara, our tana of the Mishnah brought a proof. From our tana, we can derive a proof to what Rava just said. Because our tana learned, gozel chametz, if somebody stole chametz, for avalava Pesach, and the chametz went through Pesach, and now it is not worth anything, it's asur banah. After Pesach being chametz shavar alava Pesach, and we should point out that we're learning this Gemara during Chag HaPesach, Tavshin Samach Tes, and very often, as in this case, the daf has a shaychus with the Yom Tov, that the daf is being learned. I remember once in Masechet Shabbos, where it came out on Lag BaOmer, and there was a memra of Rav Shimon ben Yochai, and for many daf preceding that daf, and many dafim after that particular daf, there was no mention of Rav Shimon ben Yochai. The daf that was learned on Lag BaOmer, there was mention of Rav Shimon ben Yochai. And here's another one of those many instances where the daf Yoimi ties in with the moyed that it is being learnt during that moyed. So if he stole chametz and the Pesach, it went over Pesach, so now it's not worth anything, what does he do after Pesach? I'm Reloi, the Gazlan can say to the Nigzal, Reish Lachlof Anachol, here's your item, this is what I stole, here you have it back. It's not worth anything now, but this is what I stole. Time Adisa Bane. The only reason he could do that is because you could see it. Holasa Bane, but if it was not able to be seen, if it wasn't here anymore, Afagav the Hashta Lav Memoina, the Bach puts in the word who, even though now it's not worth any money, Kivan the Mikara Memoina, since at the time when he stole it, it was Mammon, Boy Shlume, he will have to pay him the value because Kolagaz Lana Mishalman Shas Gzela. All people who steal have to pay what the item was worth at the time of Gzela. So he'll have to pay, even though it's not worth anything now, he'll have to pay the value of what the item was at the time that he stole it. So Hachanami, just like you have that halacha over there, the Hachanami by our Shail of Rava, the case of Rava, Gozel Shalosh Agudos, Bishalosh Prutos, V'huzlu, V'amdu Ashtayim, Avagav Dehash Shaloi Shavar Pruta, what he has left, the third one, is not worth a Pruta, Bakiv Demikar Havi Shavar Pruta, since before when he stole it, it was worth a Pruta, Boy, Shlumi, he's going to have to return it. Explains the top Toysus, let's learn it inside together, Pirish. When Rava said his din, that he has to, if he gave back two, he has to give back the third, Pirish. Im Yeshna Ben Machsaraisa. If it's still here, he gives it back. Vim Lav, but if it's not here anymore, even though it was only before it got lost, it was only worth less than a Shavar Pruta. Mishalim Le Shavar Pruta Kamo Shais Shavar Shas Gzela. The Gazlan has to pay to the Nigzal. Shavar Pruta, I'll call a Gazlan. Mishalim Le Kishas Gzela. So since at the time Gzela was worth a Shavar Pruta, that's what he has to return. Vahu Adin says Taisis Be'achas Shegazla Vahuzla. Let's say he only stole one bundle and it became devalued. Now it's worth less than Shavar Pruta. Shemachsu loy aguda. Either he gives him back the aguda, oy damer, or the value at the time when he stole it, which was a pruta. Ella. So why did Rav have to say about three? Rebusa nakin. Rav is telling us the chiddush. The afilu bishloisha. The kayim mitzvah shavar batarti. Even with three. And even if it became devalued and now it's less, it's worth two. But if, when I, the three are worth two, and the two are worth more than a Shavar Pruta. So when I return the two, I'm a kind of mitzvah of a Shavar Segzela with two. Afilohachi chav lachsulei achas. That's the Chiddush of Rava, that he still has to return the third one. Now, says Taisus, and the Rajba has the same Haora, afagav de mahai vatana tuna de maisi, loy mashma mino alahecha de gozal achas. V'huzla, dahi dami l'gazal chametz v'av alava pesach. So even though, what's the case of chametz? Chametz, it was worth, it's like one bundle that was worth something before Pesach, and after Pesach, that same one bundle is worth nothing. So l'char, it's not a raya to the case of three that is worth two. It's a case of one that's not worth one prut anymore. Hahi Rebusa de Gimel Kama Rava Misvara. Einichanami Taisus says that already Rava added on from his own Svara. But now Taisus makes an important point, which will be Negea to our Gemara further on. Taisa says, "Mid and nakat v'huzlu mashma de pshitalei dim gazel gimel aguda shavish de prutas." Let's say it didn't become cheaper, but rather the three agudas were at the beginning only worth two prutas. V'hichsu loy beiz mehen, and he returned two. Deloy mechayev lahachsu loy shlishes. Then he doesn't have to return the third one. Kiven de mikar b'shas gzei loy havim memoina. Since at the time of the Gzela, it was each one, if you have three which are worth two, that means each one by itself is worth less than a pruta. So since this third one was not worth anything when? At the time of the Gzela, it's not considered mamen, ulishemet yakar leichashinin, and we don't go with, like we said in the Gemara before, maybe it's going to become valued more. We have to look at it, the Shas Gzela was worth less than a pruta, and memela, he doesn't have to return it. It's only in Rava's case where at the time of the Gzela, which the Gaznas peg Shas Gzela, the three agudas were worth three prutas, each one was worth one pruta. So you had a chiyuv of ashava. So even though you were mekayim da ashava with giving back two, now that the three became worth two, so you're still mekayim da ashava by giving back two. So Rava still says you have to give back the third one, either the way it is, or if it's not here anymore, you have to give back the pruta, what it was worth b'shas gzela. But if b'shas gzela, the three were only worth two, so each one on his own is worth less than a shava pruta, then for sure, if you gave back two and you're mekayim, it's a shava gzela, you're not mechuyev to give back the third one. Continues the Gemara, boy Rava, Rava had a shaila. Gozel shtei agudas pruta. What happens if he stole two agudas that were together worth one pruta? V'hichsolei achsman, he gave back one. So he's giving back something worth less than a shavar pruta. Mao, what is the halacha? We'll soon see the shaila, but now we can see clearly how this shaila is different than what Tosfos said as a Dover Pashut at the end of the Tosfos we just learned. In the case of Tosfos where he stole three agudas, which were worth two. So each one is worth less than a shavar pruta. So he can keep the third one because there he at least is mekayim. Let's say if the three are worth two, that means each one's worth two-thirds of a pruta. So together, when he gives back two of the three, he's giving back at least a hashavas gzela of worth more than one pruta. So he can keep the third bundle, which is worth less than a pruta. He's mekayim hashavas gzela, and he keeps what's worth less than a pruta. But here, in this shail of Rava, of boy Rava, he stole only a shavar pruta. If he gave back one, that's a half a pruta. He wasn't the kind of shavas gzela with half a pruta. On the other hand, what does he have left? He has something worth less than a pruta. The question is, can he keep that or not? You can't bring me a raya from Tosfos' case, because Tosfos' case, he at least was mekayim the mitzvah of a shavas gzela by giving back the two out of the three. And here comes Rava Shaila. Boy Rava, Gozel Shtei Agudas Pruta. V'Hichsel Achsaman, Mao. Me, I mean, do I say? Hashtel Lekha Gzela, Bach puts in the word Gabei. He doesn't have anymore anything that's tangible that's worth a Pruta. So Memela, he doesn't have to do anything more. Oy Dilma, Holoi Hod Gzela Da Havi Gabei. He did not give back the Gzela that he had. Because what he gave back originally, one, is a half a Pruta. So he didn't give back the full Pruta's worth. So what is the din? Hadler Pashta, after Rav had the Shaila, he was Pashta the Shaila. And he said the following words, Gzela ain't kan, Ashav ain't kan. There is no Gzela. He doesn't have any Gzela left. And he also is not fulfilling the mitzvah of Ashavas Gzela. And on this, the Gemara says it's an anomaly. It's a contradiction. Because e gzela ain't kind. If you're telling me, since he has pachsum shavar pruta left, there is no gzela, so then hashava yeshkan. If he doesn't have within his possession any gzela, I can't look at it as any gzela. It must be that he was makayim his hashava. Hashava yeshkan. What do you mean? So the Gemara answers, hachikamar. Afal pishka gzela ain't, even though it's pachsum shavar pruta, which he still has in his possession. And Bezdin can't force him to give up that Pachs Mishava Pruta, but Mitzvah Hashava Enkan. You cannot say that overall he has been Mekayim, the Mitzvah Hashava. With what? With the first half Pruta that he gave back. Hashava's Gzela is only with a Pruta. So even though a Beis Din can't go to him and say, you must give up a Pachs Mishavar Pruta, because there's no Din Mamon on it, but on looking at the total, the totality of what has transpired here, you, on the other hand, you can't say he's been Mekayim, a Mitzvah of a Shavas Exhale either, because all he has finally given back is only a half a Pruta, and a half a Pruta, there's no HaShavas Exhale. So Memela, the halacha is that the Beis Din can force him. The Rama says either they can force him to finish off the Hashavas Hagzela, or they can force him because of the halacha of kaif and ala mitzvahs, that your kaif a person to do a mitzvah, chetetze nafshay. Whatever the source of their ability to force, they can, in this instance, based on the final verdict of Rava, they can force him to give back the second bundle, and then he will be fulfilling the mitzvah of Shavas Gzela by giving back an entire pruta. Now the Gemara is going to relate two similar shilas of Rava in two inyanim that have nothing to do with inyanei Gneva and Gzela. V'yomer Rava, Rava said, Hare Yomru. Chazal said, Nazir Shegilach, Vishir Shtei Saris, Le'asur Le'klub. A Nazir who is Megaleich, he left over two hairs, he didn't Mekayim the mitzvah of Giluach. Boy, Rav had a Shaila, Gilach, Achas V'Nishrach. So what happens if he has only two hairs left? He took a shave on the rest of his hair, and he now only has two left, and one of the two, he was Megaleich. He shaved it, but V'Nishrach, and one fell out by itself. Mao, what is the halacha? Was he Mekayim Giluach of the Nazir or not? Armele Rav Achim Adifle Ravina. Rav Achim Adifle said to Ravina, I don't understand Rav Shailah. Nazir Shegilach Achas Kama Boile L'Rava? Is Rava asking the a similar Shailah? For example, let's say a person had 10,000 hairs, and he's Megaleich them one by one by one by one, and finally he's down to the last two. And he, so far has he done Giluach? No. But when he adds up all these ones and he comes down to the last two and he snips off the second last one, is he Isaac and Giluach on that one? Yes. And now he's about to do the last one, but that falls out by itself. So it fell out by itself. What he was cutting, the second last one, that was considered a Maisa Giluach. If he and now by Oinus, the last one fell out by itself, so he wound up doing a Maisa Giluach on that second last one. So it, here's your same Shiloh over here. He has two left, and one he cut, and one fell out. What should be the problem with the one that fell out? So Amar Lehi answered him, Leitzricha, must be the Rav Shiloh was the opposite. He's down to two, but going Shinasher Achas Men V'Gilach Achas. The second last one fell out by itself. Now he only has one left, and he goes ahead and shaves that last one. So me, I'm reading Hashtamiyah Lekashir. Lemaisa, now his hair is all shaven. He has nothing left. There are no two hairs left. There's nothing left. So maybe he was Mekayim the Giluach. Or Dilmor, do I say, Holav Giluachu. He didn't do any Giluach. Why? The Mikora, when he had all his hair on his head, he cut it down till two saris. Vahashta ki gilach, and now when he cut the last one, lo yavi beisaris. Because the second last one fell out by itself in this scenario. All he has left is one. One is not a giluach. Giluach has to be at least two. So he wasn't mekayim it with the 10,000 hairs, because you have to be megaleich the last two, and he left over two. And he wasn't Mekayim it with the last one either, because by the time he got to the last one, he only had one left, because the second last one fell out by itself. So maybe he's not Mekayim Giluach. Hader Pashta, Rava was Pashtet. It's similar to what we had before by the case of the Geneva. Seir Enkan Giluach Enkan. There is no hair left, and he has not done Giluach, and the Gemara has the same kind of problem as I had before. Is Seir Enkan, if you're telling me, Lamaisa, he has no hair, so Giluach Yeshkan. Then Lechairo, the purpose of Giluach is that he should not have any hair. He doesn't have any hair, so Lamaisa, we should say that with the last snip, the last shaving, it should be considered a Giluach. So he says the same kind of teretz as before. Hachi Karmer, this is what he meant to say. Afal Pishus Aaron Khan, even though Lamaisa, his head, does not have any hair on it anymore, but Lamaisa, if you look at the totality of what he has accomplished, you cannot say that he did the mitzvah of Giluach. He didn't do mitzvah Giluach Aaron Khan. Why? Because on the many thousands of hairs that he had on his head, he wasn't Yaitza if he left over two, and by the final two, one fell out by itself. He only left one. One itself is not a Giluach. So Memela, there is no way that he was Mekayim the mitzvah Giluach, and that's the way Rava concludes on this Shaila. V'yomer Rava, another similar Shaila, let us make Akdama, it's Negeya Tehilchas Tuma. If we have a mace under a roof, so the Tuma is Chal on everything that is under the roof. But let's say there's a second floor, and you have things on the second floor, the Aliyah. So only if there is a Aruba, a skylight, which is Tefach Tefach, which is at least one Tefach square, then the Tuma goes from the bottom floor up to the top floor, and it's Matama, anything that's in the bottom floor and anything that's in the top floor as well. What happens if we seal the Aruba tightly shut? So then the bottom floor will remain Tame. However, the Tuma will not go up into the top floor. Now, let's say a person had a Aruba, and in the Aruba he put a Klicheres, and we have a din that a Klicheres is only Matama Mitoichai, from the inside. But if a Sheretz, for example, or any Tuma touches the Klicheres from the outside, it's not Matame. So what did this person do? He took a Klicheres, a barrel, and he put it into the skylight. And it was facing to the upstairs so that the bottom of the Klicheres faces the mace, which is downstairs. And now he sealed it around with clay. So we say that since the Tuma cannot penetrate through a Klicheres, the Klicheres is considered a Chatzitza, and it does not allow the Tuma to go up into the top floor. But what happens if there's a hole in the Klicheres? So now the Tuma goes through the hole, and it's Matama the Klicheres. So it's as if there's nothing that is separating the bottom floor from the top floor, and then we say that the Tuma goes up into the top floor. Now comes Rav Shaila. Begins the Gemara of Yomer Rav, Rei Omru, Chazal said, Chavish and Nikva, if the Chav is the barrel of Klicheres, got a hole in it, Visasmua, Shemorim, and sediments were put there too. Blocked a hole, so the din is hitzilua. So that covers up the hole, it seals the hole, and it does not allow the tuma to go from the bottom floor to the top floor. Boy, Rav Rav Shaila, what happens if there's a hole? There's a hole, and agav chetzio, he covered up, he sealed up. Agav, Rashi says, means magufa, sealed, only half of it. Mau, what is the halacha? Omar le Rav Yemel Rav Ashi, says Rav Yemel to Rav Ashi, Lav Mishnah saying to Hizu, is this not a Mishnah? This now we learned a Mishnah in Kalim, Chavish and Nikva Vesasmua. If there was a Chavish that got a hole in it and they sealed it up with Shmorim, with sediments, Hitzilua, they saved the top floor from becoming Tumba. But what happens if Pakakob is Moira? What happens if they sealed it up with a vine? So then the Tuma can go through until they smear it with clay, and then that makes a separation between the bottom floor and the top floor. What happens if you have two vines in the hole? He has to put the clay from the sides, and between one vine and the other, because there's still going to be a hole and the Tuma will get through. So time of the mark, what do we see from that mission in Kalim? It's only if they smeared it from all sides and in between the two vines. But if they didn't smear it, then the Tuma will go through. Amai, why is this so? Why does it not have a locha of smearing half of it? So what do you see, Luchar, from the Mishnah there, that once a hole is made, and that hole is big enough for the Tuma to go through, then even if he smeared half, and you don't have the shear, Lamashal, you don't have a shear of a Tefach anymore, but the Tuma will still go through, because initially you had a hole that was a tefach, and you covered up only half of it. So even though now you have less than a shear, but since the original shear was big enough, it won't help unless you smear everything up. L'chari, that's what we see over there from the Mishnah Caleb. So Amri, they said, no, I can give you a chilek. Hachi Asha, how can you compare the two cases? Hasim over there, the Mishnah Caleb, Eloi Morach. It's not that because you still have a little hole, even though it's less than a shear, but since you originally had a shear, this is not enough. This really would be enough. But here the problem is, technically, if you don't smear it up the vines all the way, like koi, it's not going to stay in the hole, and it's going to bounce out of the hole, and then you'll have a whole empty hole for the tumah to go up to the second floor. But agav chetzia, but if you smear it up half, b'midi de koi, with something that lasts, koi, it's going to stay. The vines will stay. So over there, the reason, agav chetzia, b'midi de koi, koi, here we're not speaking about the vines anymore. Here we're speaking about if you're going to smear it up with sediments halfway. So now that you have less than the shear, the tumah doesn't go up anymore. Over there, if you didn't smear it, it wouldn't last. So it's not considered blocked at all. That's why the tumah goes through. Here, even if you don't smear the whole thing, but whatever you smear with the last thing, with the sediments, will last. At least for that half. So perhaps now that I've lessened the shear, perhaps the tumah will not go through. This question remains unresolved.
V'yomer Rava, and Rava said, Hare Yomru, Chazal said before in the Mishnah on Daf Tzadik Vav Amud Beis, Gozel Chometz Rava of HaPesach, if he stole the Chometz and it passed through a Pesach, we had this before on this Amid. He says to the Nigzal, here is your Chometz, and he's Yoitz Veheshev Zagzeil, because this is what he stole. Of course, if he lost it, then he would have to pay Kishas Zagzeila, which is a crucial point in understanding the next Gemara. Boy, Rav had a question as we turn to Daf Kuf Hamid Beis. Nishba Olav, what happens if after it became Osir Bahanoah from being over Olav Pesach, he swore that he does not have it and he never stole it from the Nigzal, Mahu? What is the halacha? Is this considered a kfir of mammon, or is it not considered a kfir of mammon? And we'll soon see that the toot stadim of the Gemara's shaila. I just want to point out a very important machloikis in the sugya. What is this question? Nageya. Is it Nageya the chaimish va'asham, or is it only Nageya the asham? So if you look at the third line of Rashi, Chayiv, Rashi, which is Negev, the next piece of Gemara, but it's Chayiv Korban Shvua, and Rashi does not mention at all anything about Chaimish. So, in fact, this is a machlokes. The Rosh says that it is Negeya, both the Karen and Chaimish, and the Chazaynish is Masbir, because since there is a Tzad in the Gemara, that this too is considered a Kfiras Mammon, so therefore a person has to give back whatever he's trying to gain through his Shvua Sheker. And as we'll soon see in the Gemara, with this Chametz, if we consider it a Kfir of Mammon, he's trying to make sure that he doesn't have to pay the Nigzal, so he has to bring a Chaimish V'asham equal to the Karen which he's trying to gain from. However, the Mishnah Melech says no, that since the Chametz right now is not worth anything, even if we're going to consider it a Kfiras Mamein, but still, it's just Negeya, the Asham, as we pointed out from Rashi in Divrei HaMaskil Chayiv. Now we'll see the Tut Stadim of the Shaila, why it should be a Kfiras Mamein or why not. And here comes a very important word, de'i, if potentially there is a way that this should be considered a kfiras mammon. Why? Because if mignav, let's say it was stolen from the ganav, and then he confesses that he actually stole it, but it was stolen from him. So boy shlumale. Then, as we spoke out of that chomet shavuot of a Pesach, If you have it, harei shalach lefanecha. But if you don't have it, then you have to pay kishas hagzela. So he has a big advantage by having the chametz here, that he can return that chametz to the nigzel. And now he was kaifer in that, so therefore he's gaining that by saying that I didn't steal it. He's gaining that in case if it potentially would be stolen from him, that he wouldn't have to pay anything because he's saying that he never stole it. Now that he stole it, he would have to pay in full if he doesn't have the chametz. So therefore, memoinik kafale, that is considered a kvirus mamon. Or dilmor, maybe hashtami as hamanach. Right now, by Sherusham, it's right here. What's he gaining by this lie? Va'afra ba'amahu. It's chomet sharval of a pesach. It's worth nothing to the nigzal. It's worth nothing to him. V'loy kafale memoinik. He wasn't kafir in money because it's valueless right now. Its only value is a potential in case it gets robbed from him, that he if he's a gazlan, then he'll be chayiv, even though it's something that he didn't cause, because it was stolen from him. But if he's not able to return it, the halach is he has to pay kishas gzela. But that's a potential if that's not considered a kfiras mamet. That's the shaila of Rava. Says the Gemara, Milsa Diboyle the Rava, that which was a question to Rava, Pshitle the Rava, it was simple to Rava, Domer Rava. Rava said it in a similar case. Shari Ganafta. Reuven comes to Shimon and says, you stole my shor. V'hu oimer, and Shimon responds, Loi Ganafta, I didn't steal it. Says Reuven, Mat Tivoy Etzlacha, what is it doing by you? This is my shor, it's by you. So what does Shimon answer, Shor Mechinim on the Olav. I'm a Shor Mechinim. In other words, I'm moide that I owe it to you, but I'm not a gazlan, I'm a shor mechinim. And then later he confesses, yes, I am a gazlan. So chayiv, he is chayiv to pay a keren chaymish v'asham, or just an asham. Here's where Rashi says, he speaks of just an asham and not the chomesh. A chayiv. Why? Because this is considered a kfiras mamon. Why is it considered a kfiras mamon? Sharei patra atzma b'gneiva v'aveda. Because a shor mechinim is only chai for pshi, he's patra from gneiva v'aveda. So by saying that he's a shor mechinim, potentially, if there was a gneiva v'aveda, he would be patra. Now that he admits that he's a gazlan, he's chai for gneiva v'aveda. So there was a kfira in mamon. How? Through a potential. If he says shor mesachar on the olav, he's also chai. Why? Sharei patra atzma mishru mesa. Because in case there is an unavoidable accident, it broke its leg, or mesa, it died, so the din is by a shor mesachar, he's patur on that. But now that he's admitting that he's a ganav, he's chayiv on that. So that's considered a kfiras mamon. Shoyel ani olav, he responds, he's also chayiv keren chayim shri asham, or like Rashi, just an asham. Sharei patur atzma mesa machs malacha, because a shoyel is chayiv for gneva aveda and shrura mesa, but he's patur if it dies while he's working with it. Or as Rashi says, even if it gets weaker and it's no longer able to do work, he can say to him, you know that I took it, borrowed it for work. V'lav lokma bekilta, says Rashi. I didn't borrow it in order that it should rest in the shade. So the halacha is that a shoyel is patur. So he's gaining if it's mesa machs malacha, or it's too weak to work, that being a gazlan would be chayiv, being a shoyel, he would be potter. Alma, we see, afagavdo koyim, even though it's here. And this theoretical gain never transpired. So he really didn't happen that he gained, because he would have been potter because of shermachinim, shermasach, or shoyel, and now that he's a gazlan, he's chayiv. So even though it's here and nothing happened to it, kivan de'i, here's that important word again, potentially if mignav, if it would have been stolen from him, memoina kakafer, you'd be kaifer in mamon as a shermachinim, as a shermachinim, or as a shomer socher in shur mesa, or as a shoyel in mesa machs malacha, so hashda nami monika kover. It's considered that he lied. He was kaifer in money, and therefore he's mechuyev. Hacha nami here too in the case of Ravish Shaila by chomet sharvel of a pesach, where it's worth nothing now, but the only advantage is that he can use it to return to the nigzal without having to pay for it. And if it gets stolen from him, he gains by saying that he never stole it. So that potential if is enough to make it into a kfiras mamah. Halchanami, afagav de afra b'yalma, even though right now it's afra b'yalma, so it's worthless to him. It's worthless to the nigzel. But kiven de'i, if potentially mignav, if it would be stolen from him, so then he does have a gain by not by first saying that I didn't steal it from you. So boy, shlumalei mamoina ma'alya, he would have to pay good money kishas exela. So hashdanami mamoina kakavala, even though that de'i potential didn't happen, but it's considered a kfiras mamoin. So what Rava had a shaila on, Rava was pashut in the case of shor ganavta that this is considered a kfiras mamoin. Yosef Rabba, the Bachus Garis, Vika Amr Lala Shmaiti, he said over this past halacha that we just learned, Eisve Rav Amram L'Rabba. So Rav Amram asked the question, L'Rabba, I have a Beferish Brisa, not like you. The Pasuk says, V'ki Chashba, that he denies it, Prat L'Maita Be'ikr. He does not have to pay Karen Chaim Shra Hashem when he is Maita, that he owes it to the Nigzal. Ketzad. Shari Ganafta. Reuven says to Shimon, you stole my shor. Who are Malay Ganafta? Shimon responds, I did not steal it. Matu Yatzlacha, what's it doing by you? My response is, Atamachartali, you sold it to me. Atanasatali Matani gave it to me as a present. Avichamachuli, your father sold it to me. Avichanasli Matana, your father gave it to me as a Matana. Acha Parasi Ruts. He ran, the animal ran after my poor. Me'el of Boetzli, he came to me by himself. Toye b'derech matzosav, I found him wandering. Or, shoymer chinam ani olav, shoymer sochar ani olav, shoyl ani olav. V'nishba v'hoida, and he swore falsely, and then he was moide. Yochel yechav, I would think he's chayv. Tamaloyim v'ki chashbot, Pasuk says, he denies it. Prat l'moide b'ikr, except for where he admits that I have to give it back to you. Except, I'm a Shomachin, I'm a Shomachin, Shoyl, etc. The Gemara is soon going to ask, in the first four cases that we had, Atomachartali, Atonasatali Matana, Avichomachuli, Avichonasatali Matana, L'chayra over there, he is denying the Iker. He's saying, you gave it to me, you sold it to me, and therefore I don't owe it back to you. Why is that called? The Gemara is going to make a certain ukimta, but the bottom line is, in all of these cases, the way the Gemara is going to explain, that he is moited, that he owes it to him, except there's some extenuating circumstance, how come it's in his rishus. So, Rav Amram asked a great question to Rabbah. How can you say that since there's a potential, that itself is considered a kfiras mamon, all of these cases have a de'i. There is some benefit by saying you're a shomer chinam instead of a ganav. If you're a ganav, you're chayav for gneiva aveda. If you're a shomer chinam, you're potter for gneiva aveda. So if it would be stolen from him, he has a gain by saying that I'm only a shomer chinam and not a ganav. And yet you see that the Brisa says that you're potter from Karen Chai Shra Hashem. So it's a kasha on Rabbah. Amar Leh, Rabbah said to him, Tadura, you scatterbrain. Rashi says, Ain Leiv. You have no, what you're saying, you're not thinking about it. There's a basic chilik, as we're soon going to see. In the back of the Chofetz Chaim, there is, in some editions printed, the Shas and Shuvas Chavis Yoyer, who explains all over Shas, wherever we find that Chazal used a seemingly derogatory term, such as the word here, Tadura. And in fact, he quotes our Gemara. So the Chavis Yoyer explains, how could Chazal do that? How could they hurt someone else's feelings? So first he brings down the Halacha that's Kepaskin and Shulchan Aruch, that if a Rebbe sees a good Talmud who has a good head, and if he would think a little about it, he would see the obvious teretz, and he feels that the person has not given enough Horvanya, enough Yegiyah B'Torah to come to the Emes, he has a right to rebuke him sharply, not because he's angry at the student, not because he wants him to feel bad, but because he wants to spur him on to greatness in Torah. And concerning our Gemara, he says, quote, Shehoyu chavereyem ugdoilu mehem v'loi koptu klal. That in this case over here, Rav Amram was a Talmud of Rabbah. Rabbah was much greater than him. And therefore, when Rav Amram rebuked Rabba, Rabba knew that Rav Amram is doing it only that he to spur him on to greatness and learning. He wasn't makbid at all. So now, what is the teretz? Ki tanyahi de karmelei heilach. What you should have thought about is that Bryce is speaking about, he says, Sharmer chinam ani alav, and then immediately he gives it to him. So now there's no de, there's no potential. You can't say if it gets stolen, he would gain. He gains nothing because he's giving it. Why is he saying a sheker? He's trying, in all these cases, he's embarrassed to say that in fact he stole it. But you cannot say that it's considered a kfiras moment. Ki kamino, when was I speaking about Rabba de koyim ba'agam? It was in a swamp. It was in a field. It was potential from the time that it would come back from the field, from the swamp. Something could have happened. It could have been stolen. And then he would, in fact, gain by saying that is a shomer chinam or all these other excuses. Ask the Gemara, ato machartali, my might have been my moide be'ikr ikka, as we explained before, here's the kasha. Where is this being moide be'ikr that I owe it to you, except I have some excuse? Loi tzricha, normally we must say, it's speaking about, loi nasati l'chodme, I didn't pay you yet. So normally that would be enough if he buys on credit that he would owe him the money. But here where you yourself are saying that I stole it, shkel turech vizil, take your ox and go. Atanas atoli, you gave it to me. Avichanasnuli, your father gave it to me. Matana, my moite be'ikka. Where, what over here is a case of moite be'ikka? Because here he's saying you gave it to me as a present. So there is also a circumstance. Omerle, amanasta, vindulachonayach nafcha. I gave you, you gave it to me as a present, but I had to do something to your satisfaction, do you some favor. V'loy avdilach, I didn't do it to you. So memela, you gave me a matana on a condition. Shkoil torech vizil, take your ox and go. So again, later he admits that he in fact stole it, and he was only embarrassed to say that he stole it. So since he was moida be'ikr, he said, it's yours, except he made some excuse. That's not mechayev karen chaymish v'yashem. Toya b'derech matzos, if he gave an excuse that he found a wandering the way, so lema, let the Reuven say to Shimon, he boil chalad early. If you found a wandering and you know it's my cow, why didn't you return it to me? Om ravu to Shmuel, boimer shvu, I swear, aveda matzos, I found an aveda. V'loya yisi yadei, shishalok shef surah, look, I didn't know that it's yours, I should return it to you. And then he's moida that he in fact stole it, but he doesn't have to pay karen chaym v'ashem because he is moida be'ikr that he owes it to him, except he made an excuse. For that, he's not Mechayev Karen Chaymish Rashim. Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, and now this next Gemara has nothing to do with Shavuos HaPikadon, with Kfiras Mamon that we were learning till now. It has to do with Shavuos HaEdus. Briefly, Shavuos HaEdus means that somebody comes over to two Edom and says to them, you know Edus for me, I want you to testify, and they say, no, I don't know. And they even swear falsely that they don't know, and then they admit that they lied, they perjurized themselves. The din is they have to bring a special korban oil of yaira depending on their financial ability to pay. Omer ben Azai concerning the din of Shavuos HaEdus, and Rashi points out in the Rashi Devar Maskil Hikur Bavloi Matzah, the end of the Rashi, be'ed echad kamar. This whole sugi is speaking about one aid, not two aid them. And an aid echad we know can't get the money for someone, but he can be mechayev a shvua. Ben Azai says concerning by aveda gimel shvuas hein. There are three scenarios of shvuas, and we don't know if he means to say they're chayev or potter. It's going to be a machlokes in the Gemara. The first case is hikerbo v'loy b'maitzo. He knows that it is Reuven's cow, but he was in the neighborhood and he doesn't remember where he saw the cow. But if he would have been honest, and he would have said when Reuven said to Levi, "Where do you know where the cow is?" and he could have said, he swore that he didn't, and he really could have told him, "I saw your cow someplace in this neighborhood. I don't know which field." So then Reuven could have at least had a lead where the cow is. He would have searched each barn, each farm, until he would have found his cow. B'maitz of Eloibo. A second false shvua, shvuas ha'edis, is I know whose barn it is, whose field, v'loy bo, but I don't know if it's yours. But that also would have been, of course, a lead that he would have gone to that farm. He would have proven to the person who has it that it's his. Loi bava loi b'maitza. He admitted that he doesn't know where it is or who found it. And the Gemara right away asked, loi bava loi b'maitza. So kush tishtaba. So that means when he said, I don't know any edus, he was saying the truth. I don't know where it is. I don't know that it's yours. I know nothing. So what kind of, what does that have to do with swearing falsely? And for the Gemara, Ema, we have to talk, change it to ba ubamaitza, where he says, I know your cow. I admit now that I know your cow and I know who has it, but at the time I swore falsely. So the Gemara says, "My hilchsa." What are these three cases? The three shuas of Ben Azai. Rav Omar, Omar Rav Chanin, and name of Rav Chanin Liftur, to say that they're not chayiv for carbonates. We'll soon see why. Shmuel Omar, Shmuel says lechayiv to make it mechuyiv. Ubeplukta Hanitanoi, it's the same achloikas that we find concerning another, concerning shvuas ha'edis by one aid. The sani we learned in a brai. Samashbi aid echot potter. If you make an aid echot swear, and he swears falsely, and then he admits. So the first man, the Yomer, says that he's potter from the carbon oil of a yarid of Shavuos Eidus. Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Shimon is machayev. But my kamifli, what's a machalik? It's marsav, redavar, gomel, lamam, and kamam, dummy. The first one holds that the one who says chayev, the second one, Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Shimon, holds that something that causes money is like money. And we'll soon see what it means that causes money. Omar Sover and the Tanakama holds, Lav Kamam and Dami, the Dover Garmam is not Kamam and Dami. As we said in the beginning, that an Eid Echot is Mechayiv a Shvua. So, if the Eid Echot is Mechayiv a Shvua, so you could look at it in two ways. On the one hand, by him saying, I don't know any Eidus, and then admitting that he does know Eidus, we cannot say definitely that he would have received the money that he's looking for, because the other person could have sworn, and we would believe the person who swore. On the other hand, the other person might be afraid to swear with a sefer Torah, and because of that, whether he's innocent or not, he may have paid instead of swearing. So therefore, one man d'yomer says that an eid echod who lies under oath also has the din of shvuas eidus, because he's a garm l'mamon. He could cause money if he would have said his eidus, he would have been mechayev shvua, and perhaps the person wouldn't have wanted to swear and he would have paid. So that's called mamon. And the other man d'yomer holds no, that since he's only mechayev shvua, I don't look at potentially the goyrim that it could have happened, and therefore I say that he's potter. So the same thing by the case that we had concerning hashavas aveda. So we can look at it in two ways. One way to look at all these three scenarios, these three shvuos, is that the Eid Echad, as Rashi says, so you're speaking about an Eid Echad, the Eid Echad who denies that he knows anything in these three cases is a Dover HaGarim L'mamet. And Rashi points out that even in the case of B'moitzo V'loi Bo, where he says, I really knew who found it and that it was yours, that's also called Garim L'mamet. Why don't we say it's real Mamon? Because the owner could have gone to that person's field and claimed his cow. The answer is that the person who found it in his field, who's now a Shomer Aveda, whether Shomer Aveda, Shomer Chinam, or Shomer Sacher, but he's certainly potter on Oinsen. And if an Oinus happened, and something happened to this shore, as being a Shomer Aveda, he would be potter. So it's not 100% given that the owner would have received back his lost cow. So therefore, it's only a Dover HaGarim L'mamon. So Memela, we have a machlokes whether Dover HaGarim L'mamon is Kamam Dummy or not. And that's why we have a machlokes in the Gemara before. The same thing that we have a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. Rav holds that Dover HaGarim L'mamon is potter, like the Tanakam of the Brisa of Hamishbi Eid Echad holds potter, and Shmuel holds like Rav Blaz of Rav Shimon that Dover HaGarim L'mamon is Kamam Damein is Chayiv. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rav Sheshes. We're going back now to the Kfiras Momen in Hakoyf Pekodin. Somebody Reuven gave Shimon a Pekodin, and when he comes to get his Pekodin back, Shimon says, you never gave it to me, and then he admits that he lied. So the Rashi says this is speaking about that on Shulda. doesn't necessarily mean that he admits, but Edim came, and Edim said that you're a liar and that you really have the Pekodin, and he did not make a Shvua. So the halacha, says Rav Sheshus, is that since he denied it, Nase Olav Gazlan, he becomes, from the moment that he was Kaifer, a Gazlan. There's a big difference if he's a Shomer Pekodin or he's a Gazlan. Whether Shomer Chinam or Shomer Socher, whether he's a Shomer Chinam or a Shomer Socher, or a Shoyel, in all cases, there are cases where he would be Potter, as we learned in the Gemara before. But once he's a Gazlan, so then he's Chayv even for Einson, even for Meis Machs Malach, but for anything, he would be Chayiv. So, HaKoyfer, we call it Nasol of Gazlan, the Chayiv Boinson, and he is Chayiv, in fact, in Einson, from the moment that he was Koyfer, because he turns from a Shomer Pekodin to a Gazlan. Vitana Tuna. And the Tana of our Brisa corroborates this, because the Pasuk says V'kicheshbo, he denies it. And Rashi brings down that right after V'kicheshbo, it says V'heshev Zagzela, so we see from the moment that he denied it, he became a Gazlan. So the Gemara says, Lamadnu Einish, that teaches us the Einish that he has to return the Karen, Ashorim Inayin, Ein Einshin Elim Kain Mazhirin, that he's considered a Gazlan. And even if an oinus happened, he would have to return it. But where do we have an azara? We can't punish unless we're warned. Talmud Loimer, it says in Parash Kedoshim, Lois Sechachashu, you should not deny. That is the warning. My love, what are we speaking about here? Loinish Mammon. Rashi is not Goris Loinish Mammon. Rashi is Goris Loinish Kfira. That he becomes a Gazlan from the moment that he is Kichesh, he denies, from the time of Kfira, even though he did not make a Shvua, which is the point of Rav Sheshus. The Gemara answers, what's your Raya from this Brisa? Loinish Shvua. Maybe it's like speaking about that he denied under oath that he had received the Pekodin, and he lied under oath. That's when he becomes a Gazlan. But if he didn't swear falsely, he does not become a Gazlan, and he would be, in fact, Potter from Yoinsen. So the Gemara says, I'll prove to you that it is a rioter of Sheishas. Hamidik Tani Seifa. Since it says in the Seifa, that Brisa, the Ishtaba, the Bach is Goyris, that he swore, Mechal Duration, the Leishtaba. If the Seifa is speaking about Shavua, the Reisha is not speaking about Shavua. The Tani Seifa, we learned in the Seifa, which is the continuation of the Pasuk in Vayikra, hey, Pasuk Chav Beis, V'kichashbo, the next part of the Pasuk says, V'nishba al sheker, and then he has to pay a Karen Chaymish V'asham. Lamadnu Einish, so we learned to Einish Chaymish V'asham. But as Harmonim, Ein Einish al Kaymas here, in Tamil Loimer, it says again in Parshas Kedoshim, Loise Shakru, Ishba Misoy. And Rashi brings down that right next to it, it says Loise Shavu Bishmila Shaker. The Gemara in Shavuos learns out that here we're speaking about Kfiris Mammon, for example, Pekodin, because the Pasuk uses the word Ish Ba Misoy, and this is similar to the Pasuk which says V'kichesh Ba Misoy. So we're speaking about a Kfiris Mammon through a Shvua. Umidah Seva, the Ishtaba asks the Gemara, if the Seva is speaking about Shvua, Reishad La Ishtaba, then that proves the Chayat the Reish is without a Shvua. Amri, Idiviyidi, the Ishtaba. Both cases speaking about Shvua. Kancha, Hoyda, Kancha, Bo, Edim. Here in the Seva, it's speaking about where he was, Moida, and here, in the Reisha, it's speaking about there were Edom. In other words, you have no Raya to Rav Sheshus if he didn't swear, because this whole Brice is speaking about swearing. But when is there a din of Karen Chaim Shri Hashem? That's only if he was Moida, as we learned before. Rashi and the Gemara told us that the whole din of Karen Chaim Shri Hashem is by somebody who's looking for Kapara. But over here, it's speaking about in the Reisha where Edom came, but he didn't admit that he lied under oath. In that case, he just has to pay Karen. And Einachanami, he becomes a Ganav from the time of the Kfira, and he's Chayv and Oinsim, but that's because he swore falsely. Also, Edom Chayv Boinsim. I do you Udja, but if he was Moida, then Chayv Karen v'Chayv Shri Hashem. That's where it's Chayv Karen v'Chayv Shri Hashem. So both the Reish and the Sefer are speaking about Shvua. You have no writer of Sheshus who is speaking about without a Shvua.